Shabbat Shalom. What an honor, a privilege, again, always to come and sit and learn from His Torah. It's just, it's incredible. This Torah portion is very incredible. I'm excited about it. Very excited about bringing the word for tonight. He's so good to us. Amen. So good to us. So we'll go ahead and get started. And we're in our Torah teachings, and it's understanding Yah's likes and His dislikes. And I tell you, just every time you just say that statement, it does something for you to want to please Him. Because that's what, at the end of the day, that's what we want to do. We want to please Him. We don't want to please our spouses, our children, our friends, family. At the end of the day, it's all about what glory and honor I can bring to Him. That's all I want to do is please the Father. And everything I say, everything I do, the way I act, not only the way I act here, the way I act outside of these doors is what's really important. Because the way you act outside is, in here, you know, everyone is saved. We call it saved, you know, whatever the term we use, you know. But those that's out there, that's the ones we need to be light to, salt to. So it's how the things I do outside of these doors is what really matters. So understanding Yah's likes and His dislikes. And in the Torah portion number 22, only one Torah portion, Pop, not two. Don't listen to Brother Scott, we did one. And it's Vayikel, and it's Hebrew for, and He assembled. And the Torah is Exodus 35:1 through 38:20, and the half Torah is 1 Kings 7:51 through 8:21. And the topics in this portion is you gotta put it on. It's messing with, we got a new lapel system that we're trying to work out, so it's messing with that and got sidetracked and forgot to put the other one, the monitor, the screen on. Because with our recording, we're just trying to get a little more clear volume for the people that's watching, because it really is hard to, like if you're traveling and you're in a vehicle, it's hard to really hear with the system we got. So Pastor ordered another system, and we're just trying to get it working and correct to where people can actually hear. We don't want no excuses for people to get the Torah, to get the truth. Amen? All right, so here we go. The topic. Moshe assembles the people of Israel and reiterates to them the commandment to observe the Shabbat. He did what? Reiterates. I mean, he's telling them again how important it is to keep the Shabbat. Keep the Sabbath. He then conveys Elohim's instructions regarding the making of the Mishkan, the tabernacle. The people donate with unified, willing hearts. Willing hearts they donated with. The required materials in bringing gold, silver, copper, blue, purple, and red dye wool, goat hair, spun linen, animal skins, wood, olive oil, herbs, precious stones. So giving with their willing hearts, that Elohim mentions it four times. Like a proud father, Moshe had to tell them to stop giving. Four times. Like a proud father. Listen, if we got to tell our kids four times to do something, we not so proud. That's not a proud moment for them. If I got to tell you four times to do something, we preach it to them all the time. I want to tell you one time. Get it the first time. Because if I got to tell you twice, then I'm going to put my hands on you. I'm going to do something that I shouldn't do. But he says he told him four times as a proud father. Maybe that's something we can learn. If we tell our kids something three, four times, let that be a proud moment and not a want to strangle you moment. But as a proud father, four times. Think about that. It must have worked. Because they was giving so much, he had to tell them, Moshe had to tell them, stop, stop, stop. So if you got to tell your kids something two, three times, just be okay with it. It must work, because then you might have to tell them, hey, okay, look, that's enough. Keep, stop, stop, stop. But four times he told them as a proud father. A team of wise-hearted artisans make the Mishkan and its furnishings as detailed in previous Torah readings of Terumah, Tetzaveh, and Ketzivot. Three layers of roof coverings, 48 gold-plated wall panels, and 100 silver foundation sockets. The parashet, the veil that separates between the sanctuary, two chambers, and the masach, the screen that fronts it, the ark and its cover with the cherubim, the table and its showbread. So this is the fourth Torah portion that we're getting the details of his tabernacle. Our fourth Torah portion. You think he's trying to get our attention? The seven-branch menorah and its specifically prepared awl, the golden altar and the incense burned on it, the anointing awl, the outdoor altar for burnt offerings and all its implements, the hangings, posts and foundation, sockets for the courtyard, and the basin and its pedestal made out of copper mirrors. Exodus 35, verse 1. We're going to read through the whole chapter and then we'll break it down. The Sabbath regulations, straight off the top. And Moshe assembled all the congregation of the children of Israel and said to them, these are the words which Jehovah has commanded you to do. Work is done for 6 days, but on the seventh day it shall be set apart to you, a Sabbath of rest to Jehovah. Anyone doing work on it is put to death. Do not kindle a fire in any of your dwellings on the Sabbath day. And Moshe, contributions for the tabernacle. And Moshe spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the word which Jehovah commanded, saying, take from among you a contribution to Jehovah, everyone whose heart so moves him. Let him bring it as a contribution to Jehovah, gold and silver and bronze and blue and purple and scarlet material, fine linen and goat's hair. What's so incredible? And I'm going to just tell you a little bit. It's in the slides. These colors, all these blue and purple and scarlet, we're going to tie it all into Yeshua. Every last one of them. You're talking about the walking tabernacle? Yeshua was the walking tabernacle. As I was going through this, and I was like, wow, this is incredible. This is incredible that he represents every, you can tie all those colors and linen all into him. I can't wait to, hopefully we get to it. It's way down there. Way down there. And goat's hair, and ram skin dye red, and fine leather, and acacia wood. And all for the light, and spices for the anointing all, and for the sweet incense. And shoham stones, and stones to be set in the shoulder garment, and in the breastplate. And let all the wise-hearted among you come, and make all that Jehovah has commanded. Wise-hearted. The dwelling place, its tent and its covering, its hooks and its boards, its bars, its columns, and its sockets. The ark and its poles, the lid of atonement, and the veil of the covering. The table and its poles, and all its utensils, and the showbread. And the lampstand for the light, and its utensils, and its lamps, and the oil for the light. And the incense slaughter place, and its poles, and the anointing awl, and the sweet incense, and the covering for the door at the entrance of the dwelling place. The slaughter place of ascending offering, with its bronze grating, its poles, and all its utensils, the basin and its stand, The screen of the courtyard, its columns and their sockets, and the covering for the gate of the courtyard. The pegs of the dwelling place, and the pegs of the courtyard and their cords, the woven garments to do service in the set-apart place, the set-apart garments for Aharon the priest, and the garments of his sons to serve as priests. And all the congregation of the children of Israel withdrew from the presence of Moshe. You know, this was a lot of parts to get this tabernacle going, to get it up. And there's a certain way they had to do it. They couldn't have just used anything. When he called for wood, it was wood for this part. When he called for bronze, it was bronze for this part. When he called for gold, he called for gold for this part. And our bodies are living tabernacles. What make us think that we can do whatever we want with this thing? According to this tabernacle, they had great specifics in order how they should have put this thing together. Moshe couldn't say, hey, this pole, instead of putting an 8-foot pole, we can do 9. It'll work out. We'll make it fit. No, he had to use it exactly how Jehovah told him. And if my body is a tabernacle for him, what makes me think that I can live the way I live, eat the way I want to eat, and expect him to dwell in this thing that he gives me? Because that's what the tabernacle, look, they wanted his presence. They wanted his presence to fill this tabernacle. So in order for the presence to fill the tabernacle, they had to build it to the way he said to build it. Listen, if I want his presence to fill my tabernacle, I got to do it the way he's telling me to do it in the scripture. No different. No different. I got to take care of it just like he says. You got to eat this, don't eat this, do this, do that. Same thing. Keep Shabbat off the top. Let's not forget, keep Shabbat. Bring your tabernacle to the tabernacle. You want your presence? You want my presence to be in your tabernacle? Bring your tabernacle to the tabernacle. And everyone whose heart lifted him up, and everyone whose spirit moved him came. And they brought the contribution to Jehovah for the work of the tent of appointment, and for all its service, and for the set-apart garments. And they came, both men and women, all whose heart moved them, and brought earrings, and nose rings, and rings, and necklace, all golden goods, even everyone who made a wave offering of gold to Jehovah. Listen, your heart has to move you to make feast days. Your heart has to move you to make Shabbat. Nobody can do it for you. Your wife, you're not going because your wife's gone. If we're going because our wife or husband is gone, we're going for the wrong reason. If you're not going because Yehovah is moving your heart to make Shabbat, we got a heart problem. And we learn the Torah portion with the heart problem. He tells us all about how to fix it and how to get it right. Our heart got to move us. To give contributions, your heart got to move you. To pay your tithes, your heart got to move you. To take care of his tabernacle, your heart has to move you. To clean it, to cut the grass, your heart has to move you. Keep on going. And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet material and fine linen and goat's hair and ram's skin dyed red and fine leather brought them. Everyone who would make a contribution to Yehovah of silver or bronze brought it. And everyone with whom was found acacia wood for any work of the service brought it. And all the wise-hearted women spun yarn with their hands and brought what they had spun, the blue and the purple, the scarlet material, and fine linen. And all the women whose heart lifted them up in wisdom spun the goat's hair. And the rulers brought Shoham stones and the stones to be set in the shoulder garment and in the breastplate. And the spices and the oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a voluntary offering to Yehovah. all the men and women whose heart moved them to bring all kinds of work which Jehovah by the hand of Moshe had commanded to be done. Construction of the tabernacle. And Moshe said to the children of Israel, see, Jehovah has called by name Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Yehuda. And he has filled him with the spirit of Elohim in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all work, to make designs, to work in gold, and in silver, and in bronze, and in cutting of stones, for setting, and in carving wood, and to work in all workmanship of design. And he has put his heart, and he had put in his heart the ability to teach. Think about that. Not only did he give him the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding to carve and to construct the tabernacle, he gave him wisdom to teach others how to do it also. So listen, you might be very skilled in something. Don't just bottle your skill up and say, oh, this is for me. Yehovah gave it to you for a reason. Use it. Teach someone. Teach someone. And he has put in his heart the ability to teach in him and Aholab, son of Ashmach, of the tribe of Dan. He has filled them with skill to do all the work of the engraver and the designer and the embroiderer in blue and in purple and scarlet material and in fine linen and a weaver doing any work and makers of designs. And, you know, somewhat, you want to, even if you want to teach, the person that you want to teach also got to want to learn also. I mean, they got to have that heart to want to learn. You know, you can say, hey, I'm trying to teach someone. They got to have the want to. The name of this week's Torah portion is Vayikel, which means, and he assembled. And the root word that is used here in verse 1 for assemble is Kahal, Strong's 86950. It means to gather as an assembly or congregation. And so this is a word. Notice how they gathered. Together. Unity. In order to get this job done, they had to gather and assemble together. It wasn't me or I. Me and I would have never got this tabernacle up. It took them all. It took every last one of them to do their part. They assembled together as a congregation. And so this is a word that we typically hear when speaking of an assembly or group of people who gather for the Shabbat and feast days of Yehovah, known as the Kahal. 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 I'm going to get it right one day. One of the reaction that tends to happen when reading this Torah portion is that some may say, haven't we read this already? If you listen to what the chapter, all those verses I just read, it should have went like, yeah, we just heard this. Last Shabbat. Definitely the last Shabbat we heard it. If you read chapters 30 and 31, it talked about the same thing. But why are we hearing it again? What's the purpose of it? That's you know, what's going on? What's the meaning behind it? What happened right after Moshe got down? Not before he got down. If you read 30 and 31, it said what we just read right here in 35. 33, something happened. Anybody want to take a guess? What happened in 33? They build the golden calf. So he's telling them all over again. This is important. Keep my command. That quick. 30 and 31 is talking about building the tabernacle. If you go back and read it, you'll see it's this, the exact same thing. Get this wood, get this gold, get this pole. And here we are in 35, he's telling them all over again. Why? Because they've done broke the commands that fast. You think it's important? Why? Because we got a hard head. We got a hard head. Listen, I know I'm not the only one, but We just had this Torah portion a week ago. Don't act like we did everything perfect this week. We didn't have a slip up or a hiccup. Don't act like we didn't have it. Because I'm not going to sit here and tell you I didn't have one. But here he is again telling you same stuff over and over again. That's why it's important. That's why this looks like we done had it already. We did have it. But we built a golden calf sometime one day this week. We fell short somewhere one day this week. Is that some may say, haven't we read this already? And what certainly does sound like a repetition of what has been read in the past two Torah portions is in fact more than just a repetition. This is not simply a rerun of what has been instructed, but rather this is now the real deal. I know you done had your miss up, your hiccup, but come on now. This is the third time. We got to get it. And repetition, that's how you learn. That's how you get stuff. Listen, when you first start out, whatever profession you get into, fishing, running the crane, whatever it is, whatever work you do, you're not the best at it as soon as you learn it. No, you do it over and over and over and over again, and you get good. You get real good. Repetition. The Torah, repetition. I don't see us getting away from this till he returns. I see us every Shabbat doing his Torah portion till he returns. Repetition until we get it right. Because we miss the mark often. Often. We far from getting this right. But one day we will. When Yeshua returns and he's teaching it, we're going to get it right. Because listen, even when you try to explain, because like when he's talking about kindling a fire, so many people have so many ideas of what that even means. Kindle a fire. Don't kindle a fire on Shabbat. You know, there's Jews, different types. There's Karaite Jews is one of them. Messianic Jews. They even go as far as they don't even want to start a car on Shabbat. Because a car really is lighting a fire because of the combustion. That's their ideas on not even wanting to drive. You see what I'm talking about? When Yeshua comes, he's going to clear up a lot of stuff for us. So what do? We whatever it means to us, that's how we have to do it. Because there's so many ideas. And we don't know. We're just taking man's word for it. If we're going to do it with our all, though. Don't do it one week and don't do it the next week. So if you're going to do it, just do it. And then, and when he returns, let him be the final, let him have the final say-so. And just know that we was trying our best to honor it. Trying my best to honor it. That's just something, a teaching I heard somebody was going over. Just that one part about kindling the fire. This is not simply a rerun of what has been instructed, but rather this is now the real deal, so to speak. Where now the drawing becomes a reality, or rather the instructions get done. The instructions get done. You think after three Torah portions of that something ought to click and say, hey, well, I need to get this right? I shouldn't make the same mistake again. After three Torah portions of saying, do this, do this, do this, and do that, and don't do this or don't do that, you would think by the fourth Torah portion, after him saying the same stuff over and over, I get it. I hope so, I get it. It is no longer just about what Yehovah says, but rather it is a case of now that we have heard, we must guard to do. Another thing we should note is that it is through repetition that we establish to memory. How incredible is that? Repetitions, you're going to establish to memory. that which we are to do when we meditate on the word. Not just waiting for Friday night and Saturday morning to get it. Meditate on the word. What does that mean? When I'm home, when I'm on the job, when I'm driving, meditate on the word. You will not get it if you're just waiting for us to present it on a Friday night or a Saturday morning. You will not get it. You're going to get, you're only getting this much already. Just how much you're going to get right there. Because we're only getting this much and we're getting it three times a week. We're giving y'all a bonus on Wednesday night. We love y'all, making sure y'all get it. And us too, trust me, and us too. Another thing we should note is that it is through repetition that we establish to memory that which we are to do when we meditate on the word, which is to continually think upon and fill our minds with the word, that it helps establish our memory and equips us to function properly. So as we go through this Torah portion, we find a great lesson of how the words of instructions are now put into practice. And this teaches us that we cannot simply just be hearing and hearing and hearing without the actual doing of what we hear. Hearing must translate into doing. For this is a working faith and not a dead one. Can't just hear, 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 and hear. Sometimes that's what our kids do. Just hear, hear, hear. Go in one ear, come out the other. Sometimes how adults do too, when we want to tune people out. Just hear, 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 hear. Go in one ear, come out the other. I was about to make a statement, I'm going to keep it to myself. But our hearing ought to translate into doing. We got to do, not just hear. Chapter 35, Moshe assembles the people. After having seen how the face of Moshe has shone and how the people were unable to look upon his face, what we now clearly know is that the people recognize the authority of Moshe. You think you did? The man's face is glowing from being in the presence of Yehovah. Yes. I would say that they'd finally know the authority that Moshe have. I would. Listen, one of y'all come walking around here with a glowing face, you got all my authority, I promise. I'm going to give you all the respect that you so deserve. You walk around, you walk up in here with a glowing face. I'm going to know you've been in the, I'm not talking about from the sunburn either. I mean, I ain't talking about that. You know, don't go sit in the tanning bed and talking about Pastor Josh going to give me some authority here next Shabbat. Because my face is going to be glowing. No, your face is going to be burnt. That's all your face is going to be. I'm talking about a glow from Yehovah. Talking about someone that's studying, someone that's praying. Let that glow. You see it? That glow will show on you. When somebody's studying this, meditating on this word day and night and in prayer constantly, you don't act the same. You don't talk the same. You don't walk the same. That's a glow. That's a glow. But it'll tell if you're dull, not so bright. This little light of mine is not shining. You done kept it on the bushel too long. Which we certainly now firmly establish. Moshe then calls them all together to once again go over the commands that Yehovah had given them to do. Call them one more time. Come on. Come back and get the commands again. That you broke. He didn't break it. That one didn't break it. You broke it. Come on, let me give it to you one more time. Assemble them all over again. The Greek word that is used in the Septuagint, Greek translation of the Tanakh, Old Testament, for assemble. Some Greek words are tough. is Sun Ethrozu, Strong's G4867, which means to gather together, and comes from the two words, Sun. Strong's G4862, which is a primary preposition meaning, with, together with, expresses association with, accompany, and companion. And Arthurzo, Strong's G120, which means to hoard or gather together. The Greek word that is used in the Septuagint, the LXX, for congregation is sunagoge, Strong's G4864, which means a bringing together and assembling. It comes from the verb sunag, Strong's G4863, meaning to gather, assemble, be assembled, come together, which is derived from two words. Did I put this in here twice? No. Soon is G4862, which is a primary preposition meaning with, together with, express associating with, accompanying companion. And ago, Strong's G71, which is a primary verb that means to lead, bring, and carry. Another Greek equivalent of this word that speaks of the gathering of a people together for service is ecclesiae, Strong's G1577, which means assemble or congregation, and is made up from the two words ek, Strong's G1537, which means from out of and belonging, and kahel, Strong's G2564, which means call, to call out, invited, and summoned. So from this we see the reference to a called out, invited people. A people summoned by his name, by him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Remember last Torah portion? Your shekel has been paid. You've been summoned. You've been invited. You've been called out. So when speaking of Kahel, Strong's H6950, or Ecclesiae, Strong's G1577, in a scripture context, we are speaking of the bride or the body of Messiah, a called out chosen people, Yisrael, to which we have been grafted into by the blood of Messiah. Neither Kahel, Strong's H6950, or Ecclesiae, Strong's G1577 means a building. The purpose for me sharing this is simply to emphasize what is being called for in Scripture with regards to the necessity of our being obedient in gathering and assembling as a group or body of believers at the appointed times of our Maker, and how we are to be urgent in our encouraging each other, as well as others, to do so as we see the day of Yehovah coming near. What we ought to be doing? Encouraging each other. Why? Because the days are getting shorter. His return is getting shorter. It's coming quickly. So we need to be encouraging others. When we don't see him here for Shabbat, tell him the next time you see him, you miss him. That's encouraging. Not where you've been at. Where you've been at. Or if they miss a feast day, tell them you miss them. I love you. How hard is that? Instead of asking them where you've been at. That's not encouraging at all. Encourage them. And also others. Meaning the ones who don't come to services. The ones that's lost, encourage them. Say, hey, we'd love to have you. Come, I love you. I love you is not a hard word to tell nobody. It seems hard. The flesh makes it seem hard. But that's not what the scripture tells. Encourage them. Encourage people. Why? Because the day of Jehovah is coming near. An appointment is coming that you don't want them to miss. You don't want them to miss this appointment. Because you know if they miss this appointment, that's it. There's no coming back. They're done. Finished. And how would you want that on your conscience? Knowing that I could have said, I love you, or where you been at? That could have maybe not have them miss this appointment that's coming. Think about that. Hebrews 10:23-25. Let us hold fast the confession of our expectation without yielding. For he who promised is trustworthy. And let us be concerned for one another in order to stir up love and good works. Let us be concerned for one another. Concern. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as in the habit of some, but encouraging, and so much more as you see the day coming near. When you're concerned about someone, you tell that person that you love them and miss them. That's being concerned. And that's Hebrews telling us. We're in Hebrews reading that. As we consider the root word kohel, Strong's 86950, in the ancient pictograph form, we are able to see the clear call to be a people that gather unto our master as this root word is pictured as follows. The kof. This is the letter kof, which is pictured and is an horizon and depicts the elements of time. As it pictures the sun in its rising and setting, it therefore carries the meaning of circle or to go around, representing for us both appointed cycles or times as well as eternity, and speaks of continual adherence to the appointed times, and can render it understanding of gather or gathering. The hay. The ancient script has this letter pictured as, which is a man standing with his arms raised out. The Hebrew word letter hay means behold, breathe, and sigh. As when looking at a great sight, and can also give the understanding of reveal or revelation. From the idea of revealing a great sight by pointing it out, it also carries for us the meaning of surrender. As we lift up our hands and submit to Yehovah, as we lift up our hands in praise, declaring his authority under which we humbly submit. The Lamet, the ancient script has this letter and is pictured as a shepherd's staff, can give the meaning of to or toward, and can represent that which pushes or pulls a flock in a direction, and can speak of authority or a yoke that is used to lead and guide, as well as the ability to bring back by authority. This represents our good shepherd and his authority, which yokes us. As we consider this pictographs in terms of gathering, it is pretty clear that these pictures help us recognize how we are to continually gather to the shepherd who we praise and submit our lives to. Continually gather to that shepherd. Why? Because it's that shepherd that gave his life for his sheep. Listen. I want to continually gather to somebody who gave their life for me. Who risked it all, who laid it all down. Yeah, I want to be as close to that person as possible. That individual as possible. Gathering to praise the shepherd or gathering the people to the shepherd. This gathering to the shepherd is done in accordance to his rule and authority of his word, which leads us and guides us. What word is he talking about? His Torah. His Torah gathers us to the shepherd. His Torah leads us and guides us. The point I want to make here is that we are a called out people, chosen and set apart unto the Master Yehovah, Master, the Master Yeshua. And when we see here that Moshe assembled the people, we must realize that this is nowhere near the picture of a church meeting or reference to the church. What is a powerful reality here is how Yehovah assembles or gathers his people together. And the wonderful answer we can get from this account is that Moshe assembled. Moshe, as a picture for us in Scripture of the Torah, is what calls us together as a body. Acts 15:21. For from ancient generations, Moshe has in every city those proclaiming him, being read in the congregations every Shabbat, every Sabbath. Read that one more time. Acts 15:21. I don't need to reenact Brother Scott on Wednesday night. We in the New Testament. I'm going to read it slowly. Acts 15:21. Far from ancient generations, Moshe has in every city those proclaiming him being read in the congregations every Sabbath. How every Sabbath they proclaiming Moshe? By reading the Torah. By reading the Torah. That's how they proclaiming Moshe. So what are we going to be doing for the next 100,000 years? Reading the Torah. Proclaiming Moshe. Every Shabbat. Why? Because the scripture's telling us to. It's simple. It's telling us to do it. What's our opening statement? Understanding Yah's likes and his dislikes. He wants Moshe read every Shabbat. Every Sabbath we assemble, as commanded in Leviticus 23. As a set-apart gathering, and Moshe, the Torah, is read. And this is how we begin to learn and grow in the instructions. In the instructions. You want to learn the instructions? You want to learn and grow? Read it every Shabbat. Teach it every Shabbat. Don't need to look for something else to teach. You can't get through what I'm trying to give you to teach. You can't do it on one Shabbat day. Listen, we throw on a Wednesday, we still ain't getting it done. We can't get out of one chapter. But yet we got to look for something to teach the people. He's saying, no, just read Moshe to them. You're not going to get it all. You're not going to finish it all. You will never finish it all. And when you think you're going to finish it all, you read it one more time, and I'm going to throw you another little nugget out there. I'm going to give you something else that you've never seen. That's why we keep praying. Give me eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to want to know you more. Keep praying that. Because he's going to keep doing it for you. Learn and grow in the instructions of Yehovah and hear his commands that we may guard to do them. We, the body, assemble, gather together to hear the Torah and that which Yehovah has commanded us to do. Why y'all doing? Why y'all do the Torah? Because he commands us to do it. Simple. Because he commands us to do it. That's why we're doing it. It's what pleases him. It's what he likes. It's what he loves. The fact is clear. When you refuse to gather and assemble together and hear that which you as a believer are commanded to do, then you will not be equipped to serve faithfully in his tabernacle body. You're not equipped to serve in his tabernacle when you refuse to assemble, when you refuse to come and sit and hear of what's being read on Shabbat. You're not getting equipped. Why? Because there's power in the Torah. Enemy defeating power in the Torah. Who don't want that? when you're going through something, when you're battling something. The Torah has the answer for you. It equips you on how to handle situations. Who don't want that? We have to be out of our mind to not want this. Out of our mind, especially seeing it, tasting it, knowing it. To go back and do something else, we got to be out of our mind. Because what did Yeshua use when he was tempted by the enemy? He used the Torah. He defeated him with the Torah. He didn't defeat him with some book, somebody's theologies. He didn't say, oh, John said this, or Peter did that. No. He went back to the word, to the scripture. He went back to the Torah and defeated the enemy, to where he left them. People worrying about why the enemy is tearing you up all week, because you got to get in the Torah. You want them to leave you? You want them to leave you alone? Get in the Torah. Put some scripture to memory, because not all the time you're going to have your Bible on your side. He's not just on you when you come into church. He's on you when you're driving. He's on you when you're on the job. You don't have this in hand all the time. That's why it's so important that you do Torah every Shabbat. That way you can get some of this word into memory. Because Yeshua sure didn't turn around and say, hold on, let me go get my Bible. When he put him on a high mountain and told him all these wonderful things he wanted to give him. And all this, because he wanted him to, you know, bow down and give him honor. He didn't have his Bible, but he didn't need it neither. He was the walking Torah. He was the living Torah. But the scripture also says he grew. He sat where he was at 12 years old when his mom and dad was looking for him. He was sitting in the synagogue learning, getting it in him. That's what I want to be doing. Sitting in the synagogue learning, getting it in me. That way I can defeat the enemy when he jumps on my back and not carry him around for a couple days. Hopefully I can make it to Shabbat with him on my back. We don't want him in here. Trust me, he don't want to be in here, no way. Not here in the Torah. He ain't going to be in here. But listen, you got the same power. You ain't got to bring him all, carry him all week long. Defeat him with the Torah. Power in the Torah. Healing in the Torah. Deliverance in the Torah. Your husband or your kids or your wife ain't saved. Deliverance in the Torah. Walk around your house, just quote a scripture. Give it to them. Verse 2, that was just verse 1. The Sabbath. The very first matter, that was just assembling. I just assembled all y'all in 45 minutes. So now we're going to talk about the Sabbath. This is incredible. The very first matter that Moshe discusses with the assembly is that for 6 days' work is to be done, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath must be kept. He gives us 6 days of work. Six. He says, y'all want to work? Here, I'm going to give you 6 days. If you can't make it in 6 days, brother, you ain't getting no richer in one. 6 days. If you can't get it together in 6 days and give him the one that he wants, healing, rest. The body needs rest. Rest heals a lot of things. A lot of things that's going on in your body. Rest heals that. Listen, when you're dealing with mental issues, when you got mind wars going on, rest heals all that. Rest heals that, even the mind. said, I'm giving you 6 days to work. Rest on this one day. That's all I want is one day. Give me one. So where you're not thinking about work, not talking about work, you're not doing none of that. You're totally on me. And can you do it? Absolutely. Absolutely you can do it. You can watch TV and have him on your mind. You really can. We multitask a lot of other stuff. Why we can't multitask him? It must be kept. Why? Which brings order to the world and proper focus to our unity. We don't have order in the world right now. In case you haven't known, I'm pretty sure everybody knows, there's a war going on right now. As we sit here learning Shabbat, people's got rifles being fired at them. Hatred. Why? Let's start with honoring the Shabbat. Let's start with honoring the Sabbath. You want order? That's going to bring order to this world. But right now, it's none. We need to be praying for those people. Praying for them. Constantly. To receive results. But that's no peace over there. We got peace right now. We ain't got nothing firing at us over here. Except the Torah tonight being firing at you. If that's all we got to worry about, my boy, go to bed and count our blessings tonight. We ain't got to look forth for our blessings. Think about it. Pretty sure they got somewhere over there they would love to be sitting in the Shabbat service right now. Love. They probably would give their life for it. Think about that. Yet we just to come here so easily with nothing to worry about. They would give their life to be here tonight. For this is when we gather together and where we begin to learn how we are to be building the tabernacle of Yehovah. Anyone who claims to be building the kingdom of Elohim yet does not remember to keep the Sabbath? But I'm building the kingdom of Elohim? Is only deceiving himself and others to whom he is falsely proclaiming. While this may sound repetitive, especially as we discuss the importance of Sabbath in the last Torah portion, we take note that the repetition of the commands highlights our need to be learning and grasping the understanding of how important the Sabbath is. The emphasis here is the necessity of placing Sabbath as the key for unlocking the ability to understand the commands of Elohim. What's the key? What's the master key? Keeping the Sabbath. You want to understand his commands? You got to be sitting where it's being told to you at if you want to understand it. If you're not sitting where it's being told to you, how you going to learn? You're not. You will not know his commands. You will not understand them. You got to be sitting where it's being told at. It's like going to have a job. You know when they do a, what's the, not an interview, orientation. There you go. Thank you, brother. If you ain't sitting in orientation, how you going to know what's the job scope? How you going to know the rules? Because you got to be sitting in orientation to get the handbook, first of all. You got to be sitting in orientation to get this. If you ain't sitting in orientation, you ain't getting the handbook. You don't know what the people's asking you to do. Sitting in orientation, you got to sit in orientation to get it. As well as it becoming our sign mark of worship as a people belonging to Yehovah. Clear distinction of people that belong to Yehovah is the ones keeping his Sabbath. That's his sign and that's his mark. And we all could testify to that. You're marked when you start doing church on Friday night and Saturday morning. You're marked. You think he didn't know what he was doing? He wanted you to be marked. I want people to know the difference between ones that assemble for me and ones that just want to do it on their day. Listen, you can do it on Sunday and nobody never say nothing. You just go along with it. Everybody is on Sunday. You start doing it on Friday night and Saturday morning, you're marked. But that was all in his master plan. Listen, he wanted you to be marked. He wanted you to be branded. Why? Because you belong to him. I'm belonging to Yehovah. Isaiah 58, 13 through 14. If you do turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my set apart day, and shall call the Sabbath a delight, the set apart day of Yehovah esteem, and shall esteem it, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in Yehovah, and I shall cause you to ride on the heights of the earth, and feed you with the inheritance of Yaakov, your father, for the mouth of Yehovah has spoken. Yaakov, your father. What he says, though, you got to turn back from wanting to do your desires, your pleasures, and speaking your own words. You got to turn back from all that. You want me to feed you? You want to, whatever you put your hand to on this earth, be blessed? That's what he's telling you. You got to honor the Sabbath, keep the Sabbath. The Hebrew root word that is used in Shemot, Exodus 35, 2, for work is melakah. Strong's H4399, which means occupation, work, business, and craftsmanship. And comes from the same word, malak, Strong's H4397, meaning a messenger, ambassador, and envoy. The Hebrew root word that is translated as done is asah, Strong's H6213, meaning to do, work, make, produce, to act with effect, to observe, to bring about, institute, and can also mean celebrate. The emphasis on how important the proper keeping of Sabbath is made clear as we take note that the command comes with a devastating consequence for those who choose to neglect to guard the command to keep the Sabbath. Anyone doing work on Sabbath is put to death. Listen, you might not be dying, you know, like physically, but spiritually, you're dying. And physically, if you want to get technical about it, you are probably dying slowly and just don't realize it because you're not resting. You're working 7 days a week. Tell me how that's healthy for you. 7 days a week, you putting your body through torture, something that he's commanding you not to do. So if you don't want to get real technical with it, your spiritual man is definitely dying quickly. Not even a slow death. He's dying quickly. A devastating consequence. Always a consequence for your actions. You don't have to. I'm not forcing you. I'm not making you keep Shabbat. But there's going to be a consequence you got to pay. It's like any other life choices you make in life, that's wrong choices. It's always a consequence. Always. And what's the sad part? Some of them wrong choices, consequences are death. Consequences are death. You just ask a family member that might have had a loved one that was on drugs or alcohol, that took the last hit for the last time or the last drink for the last time. Consequence, death. The Hebrew word translated as death comes from the root verb muth, Strong's H4191, which means to die, bring about my death, and put to death. We have been delivered from death. Hallelujah. In order to walk in the light of life, in the way we continue to work out our deliverance with fear and trembling is to guard the Sabbath day and do no occupational work on it. Deliverance with fear and trembling, and it's to guard the Sabbath. It is very clear. Do no work on the Sabbath. That's clear. Do no work on the Sabbath. That is that you do not do your normal occupation or trade, nor do anything in regards to your daily business and work-related dealings that you would be involved in during the rest of the week. The emphasis is on the doing. And on the seventh day, you must not be found doing your weekly work. What is also very clear is how we are not only to be doing our day-to-day work on the other 6 days of the week, but in regards to us being ambassadors, we are also to be about sowing seed in proclaiming the Besorah, the good news, where we find ourselves working during the first 6 days of the week. Meaning when you're on the job, sow the seed. When you're on your fishing boat, that's your occupation, that's your job, sow seed. Listen, it's always, always an opportunity to sow seed. Always. You ain't got to look for them. They're in your boat. They're on the job site with you. They're in the classroom. They're at the restaurant. Whatever you're doing. In the office. Sow seed. On 6 days. You got 6 days to do that. To sow seed. And then he blesses you on Shabbat by giving someone to sow seed to you in return. To give you more seed to sow. On the seventh day, we cease from that as we come together as a bride to be immersed in the presence of our King and be refreshed in His Word that gives us life, enabling and equipping us with the seed that we are to go and sow during the week. That's what I just told y'all. I just said that in short version. He equips you. He refreshes you. So you can go sow another week. Notice, He gives you a whole week work of seeds to sow. He don't just give you enough for one day. No. If you got 6 days of working, you got six days of seed sowing. I'm giving you enough word on Shabbat. That way you can sow seed for 6 days. The seventh day is to be set apart to us. The Hebrew root word that is used for set apart is the noun kodesh, Strong's 86944, which means apartness, consecrated, dedicated, and that which is dedicated and separated unto Yehovah. Comes from the primitive root verb kodesh, Strong's 86942. It means to be set apart, consecrated, purified, and dedicated. In the ancient pictograph letter symbols, these Hebrew words for set apart looks as follows. The Kof. This is the letter Kof, which is pictured as and is the horizon and depicts the elements of time. And it pictures the sun in its rising and setting. It therefore carries the meaning of circle or to go around, representing for us both appointed cycles or times as well as eternity, and speaks of continual adherence to the appointed time. The Dalet. This is the letter Dalet, which is pictured as a tent door. It can also have the meaning of a back and forth movement, as one goes back and forth through a tent door and so speaks of an access point. It can also carry the meaning of dangle or hanging, as the tent door would hang from the roof pole of the tent. It speaks a great deal in terms of understanding the door of the tent of appointment as the only means of access. And we also know that Messiah is the door, for we only are able to have access into the kingdom through him. The commands are also to be written on the doorpost, teaching us to remember to guard the commands of Elohim as we go out and come in, so that our going out and coming is in peace. The Shin. This is the letter Shin, which in the ancient script is pictured as two front teeth and carries the meaning of sharp or press, chew or devour, which is what the teeth do. And also speaks of the sharpened word that comes forth from the mouth as teeth chew or meditate. Listen, if you ain't chewing and meditating on his word day and night, that sharpened teeth is going to devour some stuff. Meaning, you're going to say something that you shouldn't have said, but if you was meditating on the word all week, day and night, that would have never came out your mouth, or you would have never reacted and did no harm or destruction to someone's life. You're going to do one thing. You're going to do one or the other. You're either going to sharpen or you're going to destroy. You're either going to sharp or press, or you're going to chew or devour. Meditating helps you not to do that latter part. Chew or meditate on the truth, making what comes forth pure and sharp. It also carries the understanding of consuming or destroying as teeth do to food. Looking at the rendering of the Hebrew noun, Kodesh, Strong's 86944, and verb, Kodesh, Strong's 86942, in the pictograph form that renders set apartness or to be set apart, we are able to see what this clearly implies as we take note that these words can render for us the following meaning. Continually coming to the door of appointment to meditate on the word. Continually to come to the door of appointment. To do what? To meditate on his word. Our ability to be properly set apart involves our ability to properly meditate on the word on a daily basis, as well as making sure that we do not neglect the set apart appointed times that are clearly commanded as set apart gatherings, which are all the appointed times of Yehovah as outlined and instructed in Leviticus 23, which includes the weekly Sabbath. Weekly Sabbath is an appointed time. We have annual appointed times, and we have weekly appointed times. You know, we get excited when feast days come around. We want to do all kind of stuff. We can't wait. We all said it. I can't wait for this feast day. I can't wait for that feast day. It's an appointed time. Guess what? We should have that same can't wait Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, because Friday is coming. I can't wait for Shabbat. We get all excited about wanting to gather to decorate, which we should. I'm just saying, that same excitement we given for those annual ones, we got to give it for the weekly ones. Can't wait. Same, that's what he's telling us. Same thing. This This one is an appointed time too. Friday night, Saturday morning is an appointed time. You bring that same enthusiasm like you want to bring it for Passover and Sukkot and Yom Kippur. Bring that same one. Because it's my same appointed time. The proper observance of setting apart the seventh day, the Sabbath, is what sets us apart and causes us to learn how we are to live completely set apart lives as we give ear to hear the Torah of Elohim, Hebrews 4:9. So there remains a Sabbath keeping for the people of Elohim. So there remains Hebrews. There remains a Sabbath keeping. It is not done away with. If it remains, it don't say, so it's done away with a Sabbath keeping for the people of Elohim. No, there remains a Sabbath keeping. Never went nowhere. Never left. We left. Still here. Always been there. Hebrews 4:9. The Greek word for Sabbath keeping is Sabbathmos. Strong's G4520, and clearly refers to a keeping of the Sabbath, as it means Sabbath rest, a keeping of the Sabbath. And at the time of this letter, there was certainly no doubt that the Sabbath was and always will be the day of rest. And it is the seventh day, not any other. Always was and always will be. Remains. In the account given to us in Genesis 2, Bereshit, on creation, we do not see the specific word Shabbat or Sabbath, Shabbat, Strong's 876-76 being used. However, we do see the root from which the word is derived in chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. It don't say Shabbat, but it says the root word. Now highlight them. Genesis 2, 2 and 3. And on the seventh day, Elohim completed his work, which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And Elohim blessed the seventh day and set it apart, because on it he rested from all his work which Elohim in creating had made. From the root word. The Hebrew word used here for seventh is shibi. Strong's 876-37, which simply means seventh. What seventh? The word for day in Hebrew is yom. Strong's 831-17. Elohim completed his work on the seventh day and then rested. On it, the Hebrew word for rested used here in verse 3 is Shabbat. Strong's 876-73, meaning rest. This is to desist from exertion or to desist from the normal day-to-day workings. The difference between Shabbat, Strong's 876-76, and Shabbi, Strong's 876-37, is that Shabbat, Strong's 876-76, is the intensive form coming from Shabbi, Strong's 876-37, which means to rest or observe. And the intense form of Shabbat, Strong's 876-76, refers specifically to the Sabbath, as in the seventh day of the week. It was on this very day, the seventh day of the week, that Elohim set apart one day from the others, and very specifically, he blessed the seventh day to be a day of rest in him. This has greater implications for us as we understand how the creation week itself gives us great insight in his redemptive plan and appointed times. And so to misunderstand or incorrectly recognize the seventh day as a clear marker for us could be detrimental to us knowing him and walking fully in him. Detrimental to us as to fully knowing him and walking fully in him. No wonder why the Sabbath was the very first thing Moshe was bringing to the people. You think it was important? You want to fully know him? You want to understand his likes and his dislikes? Keep Shabbat. Keep the Sabbath. We'll stop right there, sister. We'll jump back on it tomorrow. That's a good place, because the next one is the importance of Sabbath. He's good to us, amen? What an honor. What an honor to keep coming here, to keep learning from his Torah, and to get this Sabbath right. To fully know him and to fully walk in him. Listen, we don't want to be detrimental to us. We want to everything up put our hands to on this earth, be blessed. We want inheritance. All ties into the Shabbat. Honoring it, keeping it, resting on it. Amen. He's good to us. Well, that's all I have for tonight.